Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To note that while this is a criminal investigation, no determination has been made as to whether the deputy's actions were justified or not. Here in Okaloosa County, we pride ourselves in our commitment to transparency and accountability. These investigations take time, but I want to assure you that we are not hiding, covering up, or taking action that would result in a rush to judgment of Mr. Fortson or our deputy.
So what we had said earlier about this horrible shooting that took place of a Hurlburt airman, a gunner on one of the spooky gunships, is that, you know, obviously we had said that there was a lot we didn't know. There were conflicting allegations. What I had hoped for was that we would see the body camera video. But I did not expect that we would see it, because typically in these matters, when the Florida Department of Law Enforcement is investigating, you don't actually get to see it until they're done. It's, you know, it's very unusual. But in this case, Sheriff Eric Aden from Okaloosa County, who I've only had positive perception of, I've never had any negative perception of him for anything. And, you know, the only negative mark on his agency that I could really lay hands on would have been the Acorn shooting from a couple of months ago until this incident. So, there had been a press conference earlier in the day with Benjamin Crump, who is the kind of the go-to person for allegations of white-on-black cop-on-civilian shootings, going all the way back to Trayvon Martin. This has become his area. I'll say that sometimes Benjamin Crump is right, sometimes Benjamin Crump is not right. Part of the challenge in these cases is that once you get somebody like him involved, it's the cops are always wrong. The cops are horrible and terrible, and everything is, which is the job of a lawyer. Okay. To be fair, that is the job of a lawyer. The problem is you can't then look at that as a sort of a neutral relator of the truth. And in this case, you know, they do a press conference earlier in the day yesterday, and they said things like the police didn't announce themselves and the police barged in and the police covered the peephole, things that we had heard before, or even that the police went to the wrong door. Well, then Eric Aden says, okay, we're going to show you the body camera, but here's what we know, and here's what we know about all that to be false.
We are aware of a press release and other comments that falsely state our deputy entered the wrong apartment and imply that they burst through the door into Mr. Fortson's residence. Those statements are inaccurate, as shown on the video that we are about to see.
So the video is going to prove that the stuff that had been said about this case by the family and friends and attorney for the family of the victim, the airman. It's so hard to pick the right terms. He's a victim if it was unjust. He's not a victim if it was justified, right? So you just have to pick your terms carefully, and I'm trying to be as neutral as I can on this. But anyway, they want to correct some of those errors.
What we do know at this time is that the deputy did announce himself, not once, but twice. Mr. Fortson's comments indicate that he did acknowledge it was law enforcement at the door, and he arrived at the door with a firearm in his hand. The deputy knocked on the correct door. He did not cover the peephole or otherwise obscure its view in any way. Again, I don't share this information to pass judgment. We simply want to assure the community of what is known at this time.
Which I think is the exact right position for the sheriff to take, which is that Florida Department of Law Enforcement is doing its investigation, and he can't say whether it's going to exonerate the deputy or not. And I'll tell you, before we get to actually the doing of it, I'm not sure either, having seen the video. I'm glad we've seen the video, not because I'm glad to see the video. It's an awful thing to watch. I'm glad that we have the information so that at least we have some clarity about what did in fact happen. The problem is that, in my opinion, what did in fact happen does not clearly show you whether the deputy was right or whether the deputy was wrong. What it does clearly show you is that the claims made about what happened were false, at least some of them, which unfortunately has become a pattern in these cases. Now, even if the claims are false, it doesn't mean that what actually happened was okay. But the problem is that if people make false claims and it's always the cops who are at fault and it's always the person who gets shot or gets killed who is totally innocent, then you start to form a habit of thinking that you can't trust the families and that you can't trust the defense lawyers, which is unfortunate because that makes it hard to see cases, to be honest about cases, where it really was the police who did wrong. And there are such cases. Eric Aden's final comment before he showed the video.
I told Mr. Fortson's family this afternoon that they have my word. If this shooting is found to be unjustified, their son's name will be fully vindicated and justice will be served.
And they're saying they're waiting on that. Before we get to the video or the audio of the video, obviously, I do want to let you know the weather this morning was pretty rough, as you probably well know. The main thing to look out for is as you're driving, please watch out for garbage cans in the street. I know I had to play a little garbage can bingo as I got my way in here. And then trash bags that may have rolled out in the street and things like that. Limbs, obviously, tree branches and things like that could be in the street. But I think that's the garbage cans. If the garbage cans are out in your area, that's going to be the one that like most directly affects you as you're coming into work. So just be aware of that. And I did want to let you know about that just in case you're getting out on the roads. All right, back to this video. So what happens is the sheriff's deputy shows up at the apartment complex and he's very calm. He goes to the office and asks the manager what's going on. The manager says, I think there's this woman. There's been a disturbance. He very calmly walks over, kind of meets up with this woman outside. She says, I don't really know what's going on. There's been some stuff and there's been stuff in this apartment before. And it's 1401. And so you're wondering, well, how are we going to know that it's 1401? Well, he walked up to 1401. You can see right on the body cam. So they did not get the wrong apartment. That was clear. He's all calm through the whole entire incident, the sheriff's deputy is. And he goes around to the door, the 1401. And this is how, at first he's just listening. He's trying to assess the situation. He doesn't hear anything from the inside. It's kind of weird when you watch it because you think, what's going on? I don't know. Well, he's obviously just trying to figure out if there's anything he can get information about before he knocks. Okay, he's already, he called it in, but I think he was trying to call it in specifically for that location and wasn't successful, didn't get through to the dispatch, but that's neither here nor there. So then, that's knocking on the door. And then you got about 35 seconds where the deputy's waiting for a response. You notice he did not announce at that point, okay? He steps sideways to be next to the wall, I presume, because, hey, if you're standing right in front of the door knocking and it is a violent encounter and somebody's on the inside and they decide to shoot, they're going to shoot through the door. So you step to the side, is my guess, okay? I don't know that, but that's what it seemed like to me. So covering up the peephole, that did not happen. 35 seconds later, he comes back. There's some... muffled back and forth a little bit on the inside. They subtitled it as it's the police, like the airman acknowledged that, said that out loud. I couldn't make it out myself, but that's what they say, and I'm not saying they invented it. I'm sure if they say that's what happened. I'm just saying, for me, I couldn't really tell it. And, body camera is not as good as in person, right? But anyway, that's it. And then he knocks more vehemently. So he knocks, he announces, the door is closed, still.
Sheriff's office, open the door.
Several knocks, a very loud command to open. Okay, and then the door opens, and it's not directly on the body camera, so it's a little bit hard to see what's going on. But the occupant shows up, opens the door, and hanging at his side is his arm with a gun in his hand. It's not pointed at the sheriff's deputy. He doesn't raise it to point at the sheriff's deputy, but he is carrying a pistol in his arm after the sheriff has announced himself several times loudly that he's the sheriff's department. And then the next part, of course, is really horrible. Says he doesn't have it. It's clear.
Shots fired. Suspect down.
He's calling into dispatch.
Do not move. 312, get EMS to my location.
Get EMS to my location. So what happened is the sheriff's deputy is there. He's announced twice. He's knocked several times. The man opens the door and is carrying a gun. Sheriff's deputy did not have the gun drawn at the time. Sees the gun in the hand. Draws his own gun and shoots several times and what winds up eventually killing him. It's not an obvious case of a justified, in my opinion. I tried to get a hold of a couple of cop friends last night, and I just wasn't successful getting a hold of anybody. So I'm going on my own on this one, okay? It wasn't an obvious case to me of a justified shooting because the gun wasn't pointed at him or raised. It was in his hand pointed down. But it was also not a clear case of an unjustified shooting. Because when you open the door to the announced sheriff's office carrying a gun, you can't expect that everything's going to go okay. If you've got a gun in your hand and the sheriff is at your door knocking and entering, that's, you know, I hate to make this analogy, but I'm going to make it. You know, I watch a lot of baseball, okay? You're going to think this is a trivial analogy, but I think it's exactly the right one. A guy gets to two strikes in the count, and a pitch comes that's on the edge of the plate. You can't afford to take it because you can't trust that in that situation it's going to be a ball or that the umpire is going to get right if it's close. You got to swing. In this case, swing is dropping the gun or getting rid of the gun before you open the door for the sheriff's office. I just don't think it's reasonable to have a gun in your hand and open the door to the police and trust that everything's going to be fine. That said, it doesn't mean that it was a strike. And he didn't raise it. He didn't point it. I'm thinking, like, for me, if I'm a civilian, okay, if I'm in a confrontation with somebody and, I don't know, they've got a gun in their hand, like just out and about, you know, somehow or other, they've got a gun, but they're not pointing it at me, I would feel justified in drawing my concealed carry. I would feel justified in aiming even maybe my concealed carry at the person, telling them to drop the gun. I would feel very cautious, possibly unjustified about actually shooting. Because reasonability is what we're always talking about with the sheriffs, right? Reasonability. And it wasn't a direct threat, but it was really close. So I don't know what FDLE is going to decide, having watched it. I think it's a horrible tragedy that this young kid, decorated kid apparently, you know, airman at Hurlburt, got killed. And I'll be honest, trying to figure out from just a couple of frames of video what was going on is hard. This is like just Andrew talking, okay? It seemed like maybe he was lethargic in his response a little bit. Like he was kind of, I was trying to figure out what could it possibly have been. And he's on the phone, on the FaceTime with his girlfriend, so I figure that's not the case. But I don't know, is he sleepy? Did he have a drink or two? And was he just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of an odd situation to show up and be like that when the sheriffs have announced him. Maybe he couldn't hear that the sheriff announced because I don't know. It was not anything that I typically would see in these kind of encounters. If the sheriffs are at your door, you don't have a gun, you know, unless you anticipate. But I don't know. It's very frustrating that somebody died in this circumstance. And who's going to be to blame? I have no idea. But I know that Sheriff Eric Aden, who said they're working with the military, they're working obviously with FDLE and, you know, complying, he says,
personally, I want to add that it's been my life's honor to be your sheriff. That service extends to all of our citizens, military, visitors, and the deputies that I lead. You are all important and valued to me as your sheriff. I know we will come to a resolution in this matter. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your patience and understanding as we go through this. Please remember the Fortson family, and please remember our family in your thoughts and prayers. This concludes the press conference.
Sheriff, can you address whether or not that was threatening, the manner in which the weapons were held?
Yeah. I don't know what FDLE is going to say. I don't know what the right answer is in this case. I'm just telling you that it's not obviously to me, okay? And maybe it is to some law enforcement. Maybe it's really obvious that he shouldn't have shot him. I'm just telling you for me. But it's also not obvious that it was... I mean, it's not obvious either way, is what I thought. And, you know, when you're in law enforcement, you show up at somebody's door and they've got a gun, what happens might happen. Does that make it okay? Again, I don't know. So, and I've, you know, I mean, and you know, here, what's frustrating too about this is I've been through hundreds of conversations with law enforcement about these kind of situations. And you would think that would produce a level of clarity when it comes to this stuff. And I'm just telling you, for me, it's not clear. 437-1620, just one note about traffic this morning or you know, driving, because we've had this you know, pretty powerful straight wind storm and rain come through. Be aware that there's probably going to be trash cans in the road. I know in our neighborhood and on some of the major streets that was true this morning, because people don't know this happened last night. So trash cans and trash bags and down tree limbs and things like that, just kind of pay attention, drive a little bit slower, and please be safe. 526 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Well, this is not a boat accident.
Good morning, 528 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David.
And good morning. Former President Trump's hush money trial reaching day 15 today. Of course, he's facing 34 felony counts. The judge denied a motion by Trump's attorneys for a mistrial after Stormy Daniels' testimony wrapped up yesterday. The National Labor Relations Board accusing Tesla of preventing its Buffalo, New York employees from forming a union. A complaint filed by the NLRB this week claims that a Tesla workplace policy was designed to discourage its employees from forming, joining, or assisting the union. And apparently guns are being stolen from cars three times as much now as they were a decade ago. That, according to a new report from the group Every Town for Gun Safety, their senior director, of course, says the thefts are preventable.
Yeah, they definitely are. Lock your car. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. A couple of final thoughts this half hour anyway on the shooting in Okaloosa County. Obviously, anybody can say they're the sheriff or the law enforcement if somebody texts in, quite rightly. And if you can't see that it is through your peephole, then what do you do? Well, I mean, I just, for me, I would have had the gun in my waistband. I mean, because then it's out of your hand. At the same time, would you have liked to see the sheriff's deputy tell him to drop the gun at least one time? Yeah. Would have liked to see that. So it's just, it's awful. I mean, it's just, the whole thing is awful, and, you know, we'll wait to see the outcome of it. Hey, this morning, just be aware, as I said, it was pretty rough weather overnight. So, you know, when you're driving, please use some caution. Go a little bit slower than you would, and pay attention to debris in the roadway, including trash cans, trash bags, tree limbs, branches, stuff like that, just in case. We want you to get there safely this morning.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop of the Storm Cloud, long gone in the criminal trial for former President Donald Trump.
I'm innocent, and I'm being held in this court with a corrupt judge who's totally conflicted.
Today, more cross-examination of former White House aide Madeleine Westerhout.
She testified yesterday about setting up an Oval Office meeting between Trump and Michael Cohen, where she says a payment to Stormy Daniels was discussed. She also testified that she thinks the former president has been treated unfairly.
Fox's Brooke Singman, President Biden, looking to strike gold in the Golden State with stops in San Francisco and Seattle, later to fill up his campaign vault. Not a protest in Tucson at the University of Arizona.
As the person having lawful control for this area, this is your second warning.
University police surrounding the anti-Israel encampment earlier this morning. Police posting on X, chemical munitions deployed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. It is 78 degrees and cloudy this morning. Of course, some severe storms moving through the area here in the last hour. The entire area is under a thunderstorm watch until later this morning. And earlier this morning, there were even some tornado warnings, although nothing confirmed on the ground. That was over near Crestview. Several area schools running on delays this morning. And of course, as Andrew mentioned, watch out for limbs and other things that may have blown into the road. In a split vote, Santa Rosa County leaders are approving changes to ballot language that voters will see on the local option sales tax referendum in November. With a half-cent sales tax already on the books, the Florida Department of Revenue notified the county that a second half-cent tax wouldn't be allowed.
I agree that the language the board approved initially, wording this as an additional half-cent, was really more clear, but unfortunately DOR has directed that it has to be a 1 cent, existing half cent, if the voters approve. Of course, 1/2 plus 1/2 equals one.
That from County Attorney Tom Danheiser. After a few minutes of discussion, the board voted 3-2 to repeal the existing ordinance and ask voters to approve a full 1 cent tax, which would also be tied to a vote to allow for road infrastructure impact fees. The family of Gulf Breeze plastic surgeon Dr. Ben Brown have released a statement, this coming 1 week after the state issued an immediate restriction to Brown's medical license. The Florida Department of Health issued that restriction following numerous complaints involving Brown's practice at Restore Plastic Surgery. The statement says that the order was issued without Brown having any opportunity to dispute the allegations through any hearing process. The family goes on to say that the accusations are, quote, inaccurate and misleading, and that they only further deepen his immense pain. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office is investigating the death of Brown's wife, Hillary, who died in November, less than a week after going into cardiac arrest while Brown was performing operations on her. A donation Florida A&M University described as breathtaking is now on hold. FAMU President Larry Robinson yesterday announced a $237 million donation has been put on pause so they can get some more information on it, this coming just days after the school announced the gift from the Isaac Batterson Family Trust and CEO Gregory Germani. FAMU said the donation was one of the largest single personal donations. Concerns were raised, though, after it was learned that Germani's $95 million donation to Coastal Carolina University a few years ago fell through. It is 534. Right now, 78 degrees in Pensacola, 66 in Gulf Breeze, and 70 in Milton. And our next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. This is News Radio Pensacola.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. TikTok will begin labeling content created using artificial intelligence when it's been uploaded from outside its own platform to combat misinformation. TikTok's shift in policy is part of a broader attempt in the technology sector to provide more safeguards for AI usage. Meta has announced it is working on technical standards that will make it easier to identify images and eventually video and audio generated by AI. Google is also working to implement AI labels to YouTube and its other platforms. UPMC will pay $38 million to settle a 12-year-old whistleblower lawsuit that alleged that some of its surgeons were doing unnecessary or overly complex operations to increase their earnings and enrich system hospitals. UPMC had argued that its surgeon compensation packages with productivity bonuses are standard at medical centers. The hospital system did not admit wrongdoing in agreeing to the settlement. Futures are moderately higher. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Culver's could only have started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland, like the real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers, the farm fresh dairy in their fresh frozen custard made fresh daily at each restaurant, or even their crispy golden Wisconsin cheese curds. Feeling a little cheesy? Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway at Softly Field, Bayou Boulevard at Cordova, and Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery now available through DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Having that storm come through last night that has now delayed school this morning by an hour in Escambia County, 2 hours in Santa Rosa County, and 3 hours in Okaloosa County because the storm's moving east. You know, it kind of makes sense why they do that. And given the things that were blown into the street and the difficulty that might have caused for buses, I can understand why they made that decision in all cases, though it is super inconvenient to offset schedules by only that amount and then have regular dismissal times. Anyway, be aware of trash cans and bags and things like that, tree branches and limbs down in the street possibly, and that's, you know, you may encounter that this morning. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk to our friend, public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we had a pretty concerning incident take place downtown on Monday. We had a woman that got shot in the head, right? But we have now had an arrest. Can you tell us what happened here?
Yeah, that was early Monday morning near the intersection of I and Intendencia Street. A shot was fired, and this young lady was struck in the head. And, you know, a lot of times when you hear something like that, it's a lot of times it's fatal. But I've seen more than once when a round strikes someone in the head, depending on the angle of the way the shot was fired and or the caliber of the bullet, that can be a survivable injury. And unfortunately, in this case, it was.
Thank God. Right? I mean, thank God for that. But you guys, as you always do, following up on homicides or attempted homicides, you aggressively go to find the person, and you have now found who you think it was?
Absolutely. Her name was Zaconium Dees. She did turn herself in to us, and the investigators are still, I'm sure they're going to be speaking with her, trying to find a motive and things like that. But, you know, they worked on this ever since it happened. They didn't lay down on it. They didn't put it down. They were on it the whole time, and which is what they do on all these big cases. And they were able to identify a suspect very quickly.
A little bit of an unusual case in that it was a woman who shot a woman, right? That's kind of not something we see much as often as other kinds of crimes, right?
No, but again, I don't know what the motive was or anything like that. If there was any sort of relation or if it was family, I have no idea. So that's something we'll have to get back to.
Okay, so we don't really even know how to categorize this, whether this was part of some kind of retaliation or something related to, you know, other illegal behavior, or whether it was sort of domestic violence or family violence or just a dispute. We just really don't know at this point. Is that right?
Yeah, most of the time on these type situations, the two know each other. It's just there's a lot of different reasons how they know each other.
Gotcha. Also, a fairly high-profile story in the news over the last week was this large amount of jewelry stolen out of a kiosk at Cordova Mall, right?
Yeah, this individual was, from what I understand, was waiting for a permanent location inside the mall to continue his business, and now it's been hit pretty hard. We're looking for information on suspects on that, and it was a very big incident. It was not a robbery. It was it happened when the kiosk was closed, but the mall was still open. So investigators are on that one as well.
Okay, so technically a burglary then, I suppose, not a robbery because there's no force or second person present. It seems to me, my assumption is that inside the mall there's a number of security cameras. Do we have security footage of the event?
Well, I'm sure that investigators are looking into that. That's okay. Information that I don't have, but we do know that there's cameras throughout the mall in different locations. So it's an ongoing investigation, and I would be out of line commenting on anything further than that.
Okay, and I assume that if it's useful, if it's the appropriate time based on the investigation to release that to the public, you will gladly do so, as you have done many other times, because that's what lets the people off Facebook see, oh, that's who we're looking for? Okay, I know that person. You know, so I trusted all that in due time. The mayor, I was talking with him yesterday about this, but to me, these community engagement specialists seems like a raging success. Several hundred contacts, you might describe, and then within that, more than 100 or 200 actual services applied for, helping people to get services they didn't know that they needed. This seems like a big good thing.
This is a huge success. And, you know, maybe this is something that can be expanded in the future. I don't know, but the two that we have now, they stay busy, they stay engaged. They're helping a lot of people on a daily basis. They think outside the box, and they're able to do that. They're able to concentrate on this because they're not answering calls for service like officers do. They have to break away and go answer emergency calls, where our specialists here are able to stay with people and listen to them, listen to their story, and find out best how to help them. And, you know, a lot of times they're just needing transportation, funding for transportation to another city where their family is. So things like that are done. And lots of problems are being solved, especially in the downtown area.
It is the model here that they are roaming on their own, that they are always partnered with a cop? Are they, you know, is it a call to service and then they get assigned because it seems like it might fit the situation? What is their daily activity like?
They are in a vehicle, an unmarked car. Of course, they're civilian personnel, they're professional staff, and they are out with they have our radio. They can hear the calls. They can be dispatched to a call, and they do go with officers on occasion, but not all the time. Sometimes the situation calls for just the specialists who are in plain clothes. And, you know, a lot of people are intimidated simply by the uniform, and you don't get as much accomplished as as these individuals do in plain clothes. So they are able to answer certain calls on their own. And, of course, if there's a problem, if it escalates, then officers are right around the corner.
Okay, so they are operating on their own, but obviously obviously in close partnership with your police officers if needed, but they're not deputized, they're not sworn officers or anything like that.
That's correct.
All right, very interesting. Mike, I know you're familiar with this story out of Okaloosa County, and I certainly wouldn't ask you to comment on something that involves another law enforcement agency, especially when it's under investigation by FDLE, a challenge that you well know makes it difficult for them to even respond. But you had this airman who winds up getting killed for Hurlburt Special Operations, a gunner from the AC-130Js, winds up getting killed in his home, legally possessing a firearm. Apparently, maybe, we don't know for sure, but it looks like maybe the police responded or the sheriff's responded to the wrong address. Go in and maybe don't announce themselves, and they think he's a threat because he's got a gun. He's just, you know, defending his home that's getting invaded. My question for you is, when SWAT serves a warrant, especially, you know, which they will do for a high danger type situation or possible high danger, what gets done to make sure that you show up at the right place, that you know who the suspect is, and don't inadvertently harm somebody who's not the right person? Because that seems like with, I don't know, hard-to-read addresses or non-existent address numbering or, you know, many people look alike, it can be a problem where you don't identify. It seems like the all of it, I can understand how these mistakes happen. What does PPD do to avoid that?
Well, we check, double-check, and triple-check the location. In fact, on a search warrant, there will be a physical description of the location, the color, how many stories it is, you know, the color of the roof, the color of the bricks, all kinds of things, photographs. Mm-hmm. To hopefully make sure that something like that does not happen.
Okay. Oh, so not just an address, but a very comprehensive description of the target site.
Yes, and the reason for that, obviously, is to make sure that no mistakes are made as far as incorrect addresses.
And the protocol is you have to announce that it is law enforcement, and you have to give them sufficient time to respond to the door. As I understand the Supreme Court cases, that's the state of the law right now?
Yes, and we're not going to go in there with a bunch of unmarked cars. It's going to be uniformed officers. It's going to be marked vehicles. It's going to be very clear during the announcement over the PA who we are, and it's not going to be just a knock one time and then take the door down. So we're going to make sure everybody inside knows that it's the police, and we'll take it from there.
Very good. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth or something like that. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and I saw this on social media, whether one person asking whether it was illegal or not. And this is the practice of riding around with your feet on the dashboard while the vehicle is in motion.
As a driver, not as a passenger. Passengers, that's fine, but you're talking about as a driver, right?
Well, both. I mean, I've seen both. I've seen a driver with a leg hanging out the window before. And, you know, it's just incredibly unwise. If the vehicle you're in is involved in a collision, the airbags may go off, and they go off between 100 and 200 miles an hour, which means in less than a heartbeat, your knee will be placed beyond your head, and it could hit you right in the face. And if that happens, you're looking at a broken pelvis, eye sockets, legs, face fractures, concussions, and this could be the end result of a very minor traffic collision. So it's just a very dangerous thing to do, kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, we rode around in the back of pickup trucks, standing up. You know, the parents were up front, and the kids had no choice. We're riding in the back, and I can't believe that we're all still here.
You know, my dad used to, for a little while, he did drive training at Drive Master, and that was one of the things he told me. He's like, all right, don't cross your hands when you're turning in an airbag car, because if something happens, all of a sudden you've got, you know, arm and forehead. Basically, to put it very, very delicately, because that's a horrible thing that can happen. And, you know, thinking about that. But OK, so we get that it's unwise and it's dangerous. Is it illegal?
No.
No,
it's not.
Dang it. So you can legally hang your left foot out the window while you're driving. I assume you can't put both feet up. There's got to be a law that says you can't have both feet away from the pedals. Or am I wrong?
Well, I'm not sure how the car is going to move. That's kind of digging deep in the weeds there, but it's kind of complicated, especially like in the back of a pickup truck. It's illegal to do that, but you can't be sitting on a cooler on top of a box or something like that. You must be seated on the floor of the pickup truck. So,
interesting.
Yeah, there's some restrictions here and there, but unfortunately that is legal. It's just not a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, and actually, I have just one more follow-up. Is yesterday our frivolous topic was where do you go barefoot? When's your line between barefoot and not? And we talked a little about driving without your shoes on. And just to make sure that we're all on the same page, driving in Florida without shoes on, driving barefoot in Florida is legal, right?
Yeah, you can do that too. But, you know, and now that you brought that up, it's even more dangerous to drive with like a flip-flop on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's hard enough to walk in flip-flops. And driving is the same thing. That flip-flop could be hung under the gas pedal or the brake pedal. There's all kinds of things that have gone wrong like that. So it's actually, it would be safer to drive barefoot than it would be to have some flip-flops or some other sort of shoe like that on.
No, really good point. Good safety tip. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for joining us. Thank you for informing us about the law and what's going on in our city. And we'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thank you.
As always, very good. Thanks so much, Mike. And by the way, we did this interview yesterday before the body cam video of the shooting in Okaloosa County came out. And so, you know, they didn't go to the wrong door. And a couple of other things that had been said beforehand turned out not to be the case. But, of course, the point of my questions with Mike was not. And it was also not a SWAT response. It was a single deputy responding to a call for service. And so they didn't have the opportunity to review footage and look at photos and identify the. But it doesn't look like they got the wrong apartment in any way either. Just in case you didn't listen to the first half hour of the show, I want to make sure those things were, you knew where we were up to date on that information. 551 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are seeing not in our, like, not within Escambia County, but in, it looks like Escambia County, Alabama. There looks to be on the News Radio ThreatNet radar a straight line wind, you know, high level danger risk in that area. So if you're driving north through Century and going north like up 65 or something like that, please be careful this morning. Looks like that's about to be some pretty severe weather. Most of the rest of the weather has moved off to the east. It's in Panama City or at least into Okaloosa County, northwest of there. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide whether it's the right time now or to wait a month or two or 6 months, and when can you get the best price to buy or sell, with the rates, with the market, with the location you want to live in, all of that stuff, don't ask me. I'm just a guy who talks on the radio. Okay? I mean, I try to know some things, but I do not know these things. You want to talk to Christina Leavenworth, a good friend of mine. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's been doing real estate for about 7 years, okay? Used to do news before that. And, you know, just a really solid person, very smart, loves real estate, loves thinking about it, learning about it, and talking with you about it, answering your questions and helping you ask better questions. She and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty sold 175 homes last year. 175 homes last year. That is amazing success. 3.5 a week. So if you want to sell or buy or are just kind of thinking about it, give her a call and sit down and have a chat. She loves to meet people. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Visit Prim and Proper, the premier destination for unique gifts in Gulf Breeze, specializing in adding that extra touch of thoughtfulness to any occasion with expert engraving services. From elegant monograms to heartfelt messages, they bring visions to life. With a wide selection of gifts for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and more, there's something perfect for everyone. Prim and Proper also excels in corporate, employee, and client gifts that leave lasting impressions. Visit them online at primandproper.com.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising this Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Blaster, blaster! Listen to the law!
Recognize that voice? It's not a hit, but this is one of my favorite songs by her. Pat Benatar. All right, let's stay together. This song, by the way, David Wayne is looking at me with a frowny face. Just had didn't recognize the voice either. Kind of a
no, I didn't recognize. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it a lot.
It's one of, it's actually it might be my favorite Pat Benatar song that nobody's ever heard of.
Always good to find those deep cuts.
I'm a big fan of the album. You know, get the 45, listen to the B-side. The B-side might not have made it on the album. There are songs that are some of my very favorite songs that were never released on an album that you just had to have the 45 on the B-side. And if you don't know what a 45 and a B-side is, then excellent. The school bus will be picking you up an hour late today. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Pentagon has reportedly stopped Russia from using SpaceX Starlink internet terminals in the war against Ukraine. Assistant Secretary of Defense for Space Policy John Plum says the U.S. has been heavily involved in working with Ukraine to prevent Russian illicit use of Starlink terminals, but he didn't provide any details on how they did that. Israeli forces are bombing parts of Rafah after President Biden warned that the U.S. would withhold weapons to Israel if it attacked the city. Residents and medics in Rafah said Thursday that an Israeli attack killed at least 3 people near a mosque in one neighborhood and 12 people were killed in a different neighborhood. And the UN General Assembly is expected to support a Palestinian bid to become a full member of the United Nations. All 193 members of the General Assembly are expected to vote on a draft resolution that would recognize Palestinians as qualified to join today.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. If you need to do any kind of home improvement work, you need supplies or advice, Pensacola Hardware, of course, is fantastic for that. The oldest business in the state of Florida, doing business since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. But right now, they're having the end-of-season blowout on heaters and fireplace accessories. You know, it gets warm, they sell that stuff so that they can make room for summer stuff, right? The beneficiary can be you for next year when you want to have a heater, like a fireplace screen, ceramic heater, outdoor fireplaces, LP gas heaters, infrared heaters, fireplace tools, electric tower heaters, propane convection heaters, or Hotshot SS outdoor fireplace. You're like, Andrew, it was 80 yesterday. I don't, and humid. I don't need that. Well, not now. You know, but give it 6 months, you know? Right? That's the idea. Buy it now, save some money. Anyway, Pensacola Hardware right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. You want to hear an awful story? An awful / dumb criminal story? Okay. It's got all the mixins, right? You've got a guy. This is not here. This was in Taiwan. A plot between friends to collect more than $1 million in insurance didn't work out. One of the friends, Taiwanese college students, both 23 years old, now facing criminal charges because here's what happened. A guy took out 8 insurance policies right days before he immersed his leg in a bucket of dry ice for 10 hours. Then he claimed to have suffered extreme cold while riding on a scooter in Taiwan, which is a subtropical zone. They don't get freezing temperatures. Staff didn't buy it. They thought it was fraudulent. The frostbite was neat and symmetrical with no socks or shoe marks, the kind of things you would expect if he actually had gotten it when he was out and about. So they had to amputate his legs below the calf as required, reported the case to the police, seized a polystyrene box for dry ice and plastic bucket as part of their investigation. He did manage to get $7,000 as insurance payment for his now missing bottom half of his legs. And then they were charged with fraud and aiding and abetting serious injury. They tricked the one guy got tricked into the notes saying that they owed him nearly $800,000, all kinds of other lurid details. But the short version is that if you're going to lose your legs in a fake fraud claim for insurance payouts because you say they got frozen, you'd want to live in a place where you actually have freezing temperatures, and so they don't.
This is WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola. Proud winner of the Crystal Award in recognition of year-round community service.